Blog Talk Radio.
Again, it's Monday night, back in the studio. I hope everyone had a nice, relaxing weekend. Mine was jam-packed. I know that, like I said, I'm in the car business, so my one day is pretty packed. And I enjoy my Sundays. I like to relax and get my mind off of all of the stressful things that are going on in the world. It seems to me like the world is falling apart, or at least our country seems to be falling apart. It seems to be actually someone is taking it apart. It feels like the Democrats and the socialist movement that's kind of partnering with the Democrat Party is successfully dismantling. And as Obama said, fundamentally transforming our country. And so, you know, where is it going to end? We see and we watch the news, and we can see with our own eyes that the world is spinning into chaos. There's terrorism still. It's in our own country. It's all around us. The shootings in Oregon, shootings in different places, the persecution of Christians here in this country and around the world, the attack on our rights, the attempt of the Obama administration to take our rights away, to limit our guns, our right to have guns and to protect ourselves, right to bear arms. This is the Second Amendment. I'm going to read it real quick, and then we're going to get into a discussion. We do have our guest, Frank, is back, and he's going to be talking, sharing some of his ideas. Frank Flores, that is, going to be sharing some of his ideas about the Second Amendment. And, you know, of course, I'm going to bounce some things off of him, and we'll have some back and forth. This is the Duke Machado Show. If you do want to call in, let me tell you, the number is 347-637-1055. That's 347-637-1055. Here it is. The Second Amendment of the United States Constitution reads, "A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed." It seems pretty simple to me. The right of the people, that's us, you and me, those of us listening and even those not listening, have the right to keep and bear arms, and that those rights shall not be infringed. It's funny how the Obama administration, the second there is a gun crime or a crime involving a gun, because I don't think, you know, the guns are committing crimes, it's the people. And but the second something happens, they're so fast to jump and to spin this in their favor somehow. Well, we have, like I said, we have Frank Flores on the line with us. Are you there, sir?
Yes. Good night. How are you tonight, Duke?
I'm awesome. You know, tell me what your thoughts are. I know you wanted to kind of touch on this subject tonight.
Well, I think that the Second Amendment means exactly what it says, and you just read it. It says the right of the people to keep and bear arms. You know, that comma is there for a reason. That separates one thought from the other. You know, and it, they want to run it all together to say, oh, well, this meant a militia. Well, you know, in that time, if you'll read, there are two great books that I recommend on the Constitution, and I mean on the Bill of Rights, and that's the Bill of Rights Primer by Akil Reed Amar and Les Adams. And the other one is by Les Adams, and it's the Second Amendment Primer. And I recommend both of them. It just spreads it out and lets you look at, you know, to say, hey, this didn't just happen. This has been going on since man started. Since man began, we have been defending ourselves. Do you have any children? Yes, you do, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And if you've ever seen two siblings or two children together, little tiny ones who can't even speak, you know, one pushes one and the other one pushes back, and then one raises his hand and whops him one. Well, you know, this is the defense, and we are programmed to defend ourselves. When somebody takes your toy away, you smack them, okay? Now, as we become more mature, we learn we can't do that. But when somebody's coming to take something away from you that is yours, or to harm you or your loved ones, you have a right to protect yourself. And you have a right to protect yourself from everybody, including your government. And that is what most people don't understand. This was, the Second Amendment was put in the Constitution to protect us, not just for us to protect our homes, but to actually protect ourselves from our government. Because back then, you have to remember, the militia was the people. As they when they were called up to fight, whatever, for protection of the colony, they would gather together. That was their own rifles. You know, they weren't issued. They were their own rifles. They had them at their homes, and they would band together and they would fight off the enemy, whatever it was. And for them to say no, it meant the army, that the army was to be well regulated. Well, that was ridiculous, because if you read into the history of the armies back then, they were mostly mercenaries. Almost all the armies of all the countries were mercenaries. They were the worst of the worst, the dregs of society. They were paid. They were usually drunkards, thieves, the worst you could find. And you're going to trust them to protect you? No. So that's not what they wanted. They didn't mean a standing army. That's the one thing they didn't want. So they wanted the population, the colonists, to be able to defend themselves, not only for their homes and their families and go hunting and stuff. They wanted to defend themselves against the tyranny of a group of leaders that always seemed to always get out of bounds in a society and start demanding and start pushing and start taking the rights and privileges that are not theirs from the population. And after a while, the population is serving them instead of they serving us. They are our servants. And when they get powerful, so powerful that we can't do anything because we are unarmed. I tell people, do you really believe that the Jews got on those cattle cars because they wanted to? They had no choice. They didn't have anything to defend themselves with. Everything had been taken away from them. Every kind of weapon had been taken away from them. And then for people to say, well, guns kill people? I don't know about that. You know, look at Rwanda. You know, they wiped 500,000 people out, 100,000 in a month with nothing but machetes. So the guns are not the problem, but guns are the solution to a lot of problems. If I'm going to pick up the phone and wait 15 minutes, do you remember what the time limit was from that Oregon first 911 call to when the police arrived? Do you remember them mentioning it on television?
No.
It was 8 minutes. And they were bragging about it. They were saying, we were there within 8 minutes of the first 911 call. How many of those individuals that died or were shot do you think were shot in the first 8 minutes?
All of them were shot in the first 8 minutes.
That's right. So they only prevented the ones that would have been after that 8 minutes. But the ones that died, you're going to wait 8 minutes for somebody to come and try to protect you? Are you insane? Would you like to wait 8 minutes?
Go ahead. No way. I wouldn't want to have to wait. But, you know, the laws, the way the laws are, unfortunately, there's too many places in America, including college campuses, where we're just sitting ducks. And our enemies know this. They're not gonna select a place to go and shoot people where they think there might be people armed.
Do you remember Paul Harvey?
Yeah, of course.
Do you remember Paul Harvey?
Of course I do.
Well, he one time did the rest of the story, and he said, you know that pacifists are more likely to die violently. Vegetarian, I mean, he said, well, are more likely to die violently than anybody else. And then he said, in a minute, I'll tell you the rest of the story. And then he tells the rest of the story. He says, because most vegetarians will probably more likely be pacifists. And aggressive people sense that they will not fight back. Okay? And when they sense that, that's the person they make a beeline for. But they won't mess with somebody like Duke Machado because they sense that Duke Machado may cause them harm, may hurt them back. He may be armed. And so they leave Duke Machado alone. They go after the people that are defenseless or won't defend themselves. You know, lions are real careful about what they attack. Because if the animal they attack in any way injures them, it's a death sentence to them. So they prey on the weak, the sick. Evil is, bandits are. They prey on the defenseless, those people who are in gun-free zones. You won't catch them going over here to Fort Worth, Texas, and messing around where a bunch of cowboys are at. They're liable to get shot. You know, so it is very important that we are able to have arms. And I mean, your wife should be packing. In this day and time, for a wife to be out at the mall, going from the car to the mall, from the mall to the dark parking lot, and I don't care how many security guards you got around there, he can't make himself go around that building fast to save your wife, you know, or your child. And most of the time, all people have to do is just brandish the gun and say, you don't want none of this guy. And that usually takes care of the problem.
And you know, but it's my thinking, and this is where you know, if I saw someone who was attempting to threaten me with violence or whatever, and I just I don't know that I would just show him my gun.
Well, and I think you have a right if you think he's endangering you in any way. But you know, the statistics say that usually it's just brandishing the gun enough to say to the guy, you don't want to mess with us. You better get going.
Yeah, but that guy needs to be off the streets. That guy needs to be rounded up and picked up. And, you know, see, that to me, it's almost like, I hate to say vigilantism because it's I know it's frowned upon, but, you know, there was a time when Americans were more aware, more willing to act, more astute of their, you know, more, you know, cognizant of their surroundings. And now they're all just afraid to do anything. You know, my brother went on a trip.
Let me interject this in. Why?
Go ahead.
Okay, here's why. Because if you shoot somebody, See, people think just because you have a concealed carry license that you shoot somebody and that's no big deal. I'm going to tell you something. What's going to happen to you once you shoot somebody shouldn't happen to anybody. You will be arrested. The gun will be taken from you. They will investigate you up and down, up one side and down the other. And I promise you, it is not going to be pleasant and it's not going to be cheap. Okay? Too many people have found that out. The idea that you can have a concealed gun carry license and you're going to be shooting up and brandishing your gun everywhere, you don't even want to think about that. The complications from doing such a thing is just terrible. The last thing anybody that has a concealed carry license wants to do is to have to use it, okay? Because it really causes a lot of problems.
You know, there's something interesting that I want to bring up here. You know, obviously, what was the statistic? 90% of blacks, or maybe it was even 95% of black voters, voted for Obama. They voted for his liberal policies, his socialist tendencies. They love him, right? And it's correct. It's because he's black. Now, David Clark, who's Sheriff David Clark in Milwaukee, recently made a statement about he's black too. He's not an Obama supporter. He's one of the 5% who did not support Obama. Okay, but here's the deal. He says about the Second Amendment that it was the Second Amendment that truly gave black people in this country their rights and the ability to protect their rights, to protect themselves from being lynched, to protect themselves from being hunted down and by mobs. You know, when black people became armed, that kind of stuff stopped. So, you know, for black people now to be on this liberal bandwagon of getting rid of guns and supporting politicians who want to ban guns and confiscate guns, to me, it's like they are defeating themselves and they don't even know it.
Absolutely, because you think about it, the 80% of the blacks killed are killed by blacks, okay, by other blacks. So what you're saying is we're going to disarm the black population. Do you think the criminals are going to give up their guns?
No way.
You think they're going to obey the law, or do you think they're going to be what they are?
Yeah, they are who they are.
Yep. And in Mexico has the most stringent gun laws. You get 25 years for having a gun. You get 5 years for killing the man. And do you? 57,000 people have been killed in Mexico in the last few years. Do you think the gun laws are working over there?
No way.
No way. And this is the fallacy and the delusion that people have. Once we get rid of guns, that's going to stop the killing. The worst mass murder ever committed before the Oklahoma bombing was done in a clandestine nightclub, and the guy used a 5-gallon gas can to kill 390-something people. So tell me guns kill. So let's go pick up all the gas cans. And then, of course, teenagers kill and behind the wheel kill each other and other innocent people while driving. And so let's go confiscate all the cars. Where does it stop? You know, everything is a gun, just like a hammer is an instrument. When it's used properly, it's a wonderful thing. When used improperly, It's a terrible thing. But that's true for everything.
So let me ask you this about the whole conversation about mental issues and gun ownership. Do you think people who have been diagnosed with mental instability of some sort should be allowed to own a gun?
No, but I also believe that people in the mental health field need to be held responsible for feeding psychotropic drugs to people and making them so messed up in their mind that they don't that they are become psychotic. And yet, you know, a man once told me, you cannot take the credit for those who learn if you're not willing to take the responsibility for those who don't learn. And you can't take the credit for those who supposedly you think are getting well if you're not going to take the responsibility for those who commit these horrible crimes while under your care. And if you'll see that most of these guys are young guys who've been taking these drugs since they were 10 and 12 years old to kind of control them. And their brain is so cooked up, and nobody wants to admit this. You cannot get the media to admit it. You cannot get anybody to admit this. Nobody wants to put the blame where it belongs with these particular kind of people, Columbine or any of them. The mental health field has a responsibility to face something here. They need to look at it. What causes this kid that we are giving drugs to become so psychotic that they want to go kill people like that?
You know, I've heard some conspiracy theorists say that that is by design, that people are selected actually and taught to go and do those things subliminally.
So we can take the guns away. Yeah, I'm not that big a conspiracy theorist, but let me tell you what I do believe. I do believe that there is some responsibility there. If you and I created a product that made people do this kind of behavior, I don't care if it was chewing gum. You know, you and I would be being sued left and right. But the mental health field gets away with all kinds of garbage, and so do the pharmaceuticals get away with a whole bunch of garbage. And the only time they're held responsible is when some lawyer thinks they can make a lot of money off of them. But the mental health escapes everybody. Nobody holds them responsible for nothing. And they can no more prove that they help people than that they hurt people. You know, and you know, I'm sorry. I've seen it too many times. I've seen good, healthy people who were suffering a little bit of depression. They get on some kind of medication, and after a while, they're just nuttier than a fruitcake. And maybe it helps some people. I don't know. I can't say. I'm not a doctor, and I don't be one. I can only go by what I see. And what I've seen is I see nobody's holding these people responsible. If nothing else, why wouldn't you just examine it and say, wait a minute, let's see what one has to do with the other thing. But we don't even face that place. We don't get to that place where we can face and make those questions. One of the greatest lessons I've learned about from children. Children have the greatest lesson to teach adults. You know what it is? Why? When the little girl was little, she thought, why, Daddy? And he said, well, honey, it's because of this. And she says, why? And he to give her the explanation. She says, why? Why is this happening? Why is this young people, usually in that age range, with those same problems? And, you know, why is it?
You know, if I were to guess, I would say I'm kind of stealing some of Ben Carson's thunder here, but, you know, you probably go back and you can find lots of, if you were to examine all of the individuals in those shootings, that there's probably similar trends. And those trends include lack of parenting. They include probably, like you say, mental illness or drugs, as far as prescribed drugs, hallucinogenics possibly, and low self-esteem. They all are failures in some sort of way in life, and they're trying to redeem themselves in one last shot of glory. But, you know, I like this more recent approach where more of the media is choosing to not mention names, not show pictures, images. You know, one thing I thought was interesting was the doctored photo of the shooter in Oregon. You know, they still, as far as I know, are not going after him as far as hate crimes against Christians. The photo was doctored, and you know, the shooter is half black, half white, and in the image that was taken, he looked black, but in the image that was doctored and put up on the liberal news networks, he looked white. They're trying to make it look like a white guy shot up all these Christians.
And here's the deal: until we everyday people. Until we start going after the journalists, the media, and start exposing them, and I mean exposing them, and bring them down, do to them what they do to poor innocent people, you know, dissect them, bring out their garbage, bring out their trash, put it on the internet, do whatever you got, you know, bring them down. Quit advertising. Call the companies that advertise with them and say, you know, this newspaper doctored up this or this, and you know what? I'm I hate boycotts, but you know, you got to make people hurt, and until you make people hurt, they don't change their behavior, and you know, people didn't start putting their seatbelts on until they started getting tickets, you know, and so
yeah, that was me. That was me. I was the guy who said, I'm against this. How dare they? They don't have the right. And then I got a ticket, and I said, oh, I guess maybe they do have the right.
Well,
pretty soon, I'm going to say, you don't have the right to take my gun, and then I'm going to have to give it up, or they're going to put
me
in prison.
I hope you don't. I hope you don't. I hope you
don't either.
I hope you Charleston Heston have a Charleston Heston from my cold, dead hands.
I would like to think that that day will never come, but I feel like it's like the constant assault from radical Islamists. It's never going to stop, and never ever going to stop. And this they're going to always try to take our guns from us. We can't.
You know, I told you before when I first started coming talking to you. You want me to come on and show? You be careful because I like to quote the Bible and I like to talk about Jesus, okay? There's a passage in the Old Testament that says, burn the evil out from among you, okay? Burn the evil out from among you. And you know, sometimes that's all you can do. You just have to burn the evil out from among you. It's just everywhere, and there's nothing you can do. Except get rid of it.
Well, I can tell you there's a lot of evil that needs to be burnt out. Some of it lies in Washington, D.C. You know, some of it lies in the White House. But it is all over the world. And, folks, I do appreciate you tuning in. We've come to the end of another program. Thank you for tuning in. Catch us every weeknight, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on the Duke Machado Show. Thank you, Frank, for calling in.
Yeah, good night.